The evening news has a set pattern these days, and I find it a bit concerning. I think that's their goal, isn't it? That we would be unsettled and feel like I have to come back the next day to find out the new worrying stuff that's happening around the world. And so it's got a sort of a pattern. It's the cost of living crisis, the lack of rain, the wars around the world. And wasn't that long ago that I had thought I'd love to take a cruise on the Volga River and see St. Petersburg and Moscow and walk into the beautiful cathedrals there. Not happening. And then to go to the Holy Land, not happening. And maybe to China, not happening. The world has changed since those days. It wasn't that many years ago. And then, of course, there's our own health challenges. I've got an eye operation coming up, and we have various friends who are either sick, battling cancer, or who have passed away. Life is rough. It's not for cowards. Right? Life is rough. Always has been. This is not new. It always has been. But how do we face the storms in life? How do we keep an even keel? And maybe we shouldn't get addicted to the evening news. That is a set pattern. I think they go like, whoops, we didn't have a violent break in this. Now, where's a video clip of a violent breakdown? Where's a burning car? Yeah, no, we need one of those too. And we can always go to America and get a gun shooting at any time we don't have anything in Australia. They got plenty of those. So how do we face this world? Okay, so Jesus had been teaching the people, and there was such a big crowd that he was teaching from a boat, just so he doesn't get crushed. And then he says, well, let's go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Bit of a change. Oh, wait a minute. Is this a good idea to go to the other side of the Sea of Galilee? The other side is actually the pagan world. So on the side that they were on is Jewish territory. On the other side is all pagans. And of course, it's at night. Like, should you really be crossing the lake at night? You don't have any lights, you know. And the boat is not small. It's not a tinny. We've actually discovered one in the ground near the Sea of Galilee, and it was carbon dated back to the days of Jesus, and it's as from this wall to that wall, it's not a small boat. It is an official sort of fishing boat. So about that, and about 3 meters wide, and it did have a deck front and back, and Jesus was maybe sleeping underneath one of those decks. So they found that in 1989. The boat would have held 15 people. Well, that would fit the disciples. So, yeah, it all fits together. And as they're crossing in the dark, a storm comes. The Sea of Galilee is actually famous for sudden storms. It is kind of like in a valley. And you know how you can have gully winds. Well, this is worse than a gully wind. But, sudden storms, unexpected. When I was about 24, I was on a cruise liner in the Atlantic, and we faced the tail end of a hurricane, and I was one of the few people whose stomach wasn't off. I'm still eating tea, but the dining room was empty. Everyone was in their room. And I thought, like, I love to watch storms from a sheltered place. My house was on the edge of a hill, and I had an upstairs bedroom that looked out over the valley, and thunderstorms were just off. I'm supposed to be asleep, you know, I'm at the window watching thunderstorms and watching the lightning around the valley. So I thought, oh, I'll go up and watch this storm, you know, through the glass. And there was sort of, to get out on the deck, there were two, like, double glass doors, one here and one there. I got up there, and that glass door, it was like 10 fire hoses were aimed on that. It was just, it wasn't like you expect rain. It was like, no way. I never even went through the first glass door to see it. Way too scary. You know, storms at sea can be so frightening. And again, in 1994, I was in Warradale, which is only a few blocks away from Brighton. And there was a big storm in Brighton that year. And we used to go to Brighton within walking distance almost, and we would go to Brighton often. So we went down and we saw the storm rip the Brighton jetty out. Like, you know, the jetty is massive. We've been on the jetty many times, and the storm just ripped that jetty out. And we went up to Glen Elg, and you know, the water's supposed to be on the sand. It was coming up Anzac Highway. You know, like the waves are up Anzac Highway. Storms are amazing. And of course, days afterwards, the sea is still choppy and brown, dark, you know, dark and choppy. So there's a storm comes. Jesus is asleep. Now, did Jesus know that storm was coming? Why didn't my weather app tell me it was coming? Jesus knew. Jesus knew it was coming. So why did he take the disciples through this storm? Well, there's a man on the other side who was possessed by demons, and the demons bragged, we're a legion. That's 5,000 soldiers. We're a legion. And he needed help, and Jesus valued him, and he was worth it to cross the sea and go through the storm to help that man. And besides, we grow through storms. And the disciples' faith would grow as they went through that experience. Now, the disciples, most of them were fishermen, and they're used to storms. They fished on that lake, and they were used to it. And it's probably one of their boats that they were in. And yet, they were frightened. So this is a storm frightening enough that they're going, this isn't the kind we normally have. This is a serious one. You know, so they're taking the sails down and battening everything down, and they're bailing, trying to keep the water out of the boat, because the Bible says the water is going into the boat. That's where you don't want it, right? You can sink if it goes in the boat. And they come to Jesus and wake him and say, are we to drown for all you care? You can hear the anger here. For all you care. Jesus is a carpenter. What are they going to him for? What do carpenters know about boats and about storms? Do they want him to help bail? Jesus stands up in the boat and he rebukes the wind. And the waves. That's an unusual word, rebuke. This is a Bible word for when he speaks to demons. You rebuke demons. And the language is actually rough. The Bible doesn't usually translate it rough, but it's more like, shut up and be muzzled. Shut up and be muzzled. Remember there was that rude thing where someone talked about a woman being muzzled? Well, that's what he says to demons. He had just said that sort of thing to a demon recently. Shut up and be muzzled. He's treating the storm as something like demonic, something that he has power over. And the storm and the sea goes flat. Unlike the storm I saw in Brighton, where it was a few days before the waves calmed down, the sea goes like glass. And the disciples are more frightened by this than they were by the storm. I mean, they had seen storms before. They'd never seen anyone go, shut up and be muzzled, and the sea go flat. What kind of person is this? We talk about the weather. We can't do anything about it. We talk about it a lot, though. Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. Shut up and be muzzled. And the winds and the waves obey. No choppy waves for days, like glass. Psalm 89 says, God, you rule over the surging seas, and when its waves mount up, you still them. They know who this guy is. This is a shock. Who is this guy? Imagine sitting next to someone who could say, shut up and be muzzled, and the ocean goes flat. Does he know what I'm thinking? The things that I don't tell anyone? Those thoughts that go into my mind sometimes, did he know all that? I don't know if I want to sit next to him, if he knows all about me. Is he a superhero? How does he have this power? They're terrified. And again, they use rough language here. Actually, you'd want to translate it more as, who the hell is this? We'd never put that in a Bible translation. But that's the way the Greek is. It's like, who the hell is this? It's God himself. God visiting earth as a human being. He knows what I think. Okay, so what does all this mean for us? Okay, tonight we'll turn on the news. You'll hear about the cost of living crisis, lack of rain. You'll hear about various wars. They got three of them at least to share. They can pick whichever one they want to tonight. You'll see the video clips of the violent break-in. You'll see the burnt-out car. You'll hear about COVID-19 and bird flu. You'll hear all that. And you'll have your own issues of your own health issues or family health issues or perhaps the death of a loved one. We're not in charge of the universe, are we? We're not in charge. James says it this way. Now listen to me, you who say, tomorrow we'll go to a certain city and we'll stay there for a year and make a lot of money. You don't even know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are like a thin fog that appears for a moment and then disappears. Storms make us feel like God doesn't care, right? Sickness, you know, when we hear the unwelcome words from the doctor, we wonder, where is God? Or, you know, when other bad things happen, we wonder, where is God? So that living cost of living crisis, the lack of rain, wars, violent break-ins, COVID-19, bird flu, health crises, does Jesus care? Jesus was in the boat. He wasn't on the shore. He was with them in the boat. He promises, lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Doesn't matter where you're going or what situation you're in, he promises he's with you. That's why he's called Emmanuel, God with us. Life is rough. Always has been. Always has been. Does Jesus care? He was on a mission to planet Earth. And he was in the greatest storm of all human history. The storm of where Satan and God come into conflict. Stood there wearing our sins, attacked by Satan, death, suffering, pain. And in the same way, he wanted to go across the sea to help the man who was possessed by the demon, by the legion of demons. So he wanted to go to the cross for you and for me. And so we stood in that place right where the battle is the worst between Satan and God. Received the punishment for our sins. Received the death that we deserve. And conquered death and came alive again. And promised that you would live forever. Does Jesus care? My word, he cares. My word, he cares. You can't see otherwise when you look at the cross. Where he knew what was going on. You know, sometimes we are injured, right? It happens. We don't know what's going to happen beforehand. You wouldn't drive the car to that place if you knew there was going to be a wreck, would you? You wouldn't go up that ladder if you knew you were going to fall. It happens. But in Jesus' case, it's the opposite. He came to planet Earth knowing that he would be tortured to death, knowing that that was the plan. And in the same way, it was worth it to go across the sea for the man possessed by the demons. He looked at you and said, you're worth it. You're worth it. I'm going to come to planet Earth and I'm going to go to the cross for you. And I will come alive again for you and promise you life. But why do storms come in our life? You know, farmers say the crops need to have a bit of dry spell so that the roots will go down. Otherwise, they'll have these wimpy roots just up at the top and they won't survive. They need to go through that. And the same thing, you know, we need to allow our kids to fall. You know, I had six, right? And every one of them, there comes the day when the little one starts standing on the couch. You know they're going to fall. Got two choices. You can run over and, you know, wrap them in cotton. I would have to walk out of the room and wait for the scream. Then come in and comfort. They have to learn about gravity. Better they learn about gravity from a couch than from a tree or the roof. Right? We got to learn. We have to learn. We have to grow through things like that. We can't wrap our kids or ourselves in cotton. We actually need germs. We need them. You know, this washing your hands all the time and trying to use antibiotics all the time is really dangerous. In one of my previous congregations, I had two families, one that had a child who had childhood diabetes and the other who had severe peanut allergy. Both of them said they went to the specialist and he said, "Dentists and doctors, kids, not enough germs." He told them that an idle immune system is a dangerous immune system. It will find something to fight. You want it to fight germs. You don't want it to fight your own, whatever it is that makes insulin. You don't want it to attack you or decide that peanuts are the germs. That's why the Amish don't have peanut allergies. They don't use that stuff. Now, you know, during pandemic, maybe that's appropriate, but not generally in life. And we had cases in Brisbane where people were getting hospital-grade infections in their kitchen from using antibiotics, you know, germ-killing stuff on their kitchen all over the place. You know, we need to have regular germs. Not dangerous ones, just normal ones. So we need to go through experiences. We grow not only, you know, health-wise, but our faith grows through challenges, right? The easy times our faith doesn't grow. It's the tough times that our faith grows. It's the hard times where we realize we need God and we actually turn to Him in prayer. You know, when life is easy, don't we sort of like, "I'm in control of this"? Until something happens. Then we remember we're not in control and we have a God who loves us and who is more powerful. God makes a promise. All things work together for good to those who love God. All things work together for good to those who love God. Even sickness and financial hardship. We minister to others through our own wounds. One of my friends ended up with a colostomy, one of those colostomy bags. So she became a colostomy bag sister and went around and helped other people. And she had the right to talk to them because she'd been there. It's through our wounds that we can minister to others. So winds and waves will come in your life. Maybe you're in the midst of a storm right now. Jesus makes a difference. The final victory is yours in Jesus. Not because we're in control of the universe, but He is. He gives you forgiveness. He gives you the promise of life forever. Jesus, Savior, pilot me through life's tempestuous sea, or it is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul, even in the midst of storms. Dear Father, we thank You that You are with us, that You are in control. When the storms hit our lives, we pray that we would be able to call on You and You would bring us through stronger and able to minister to others through those things that happen to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.